Helen Shiel on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania.
It was 50 years ago today that brilliant musician, one of the all-time greats, was brought in unconscious to St Mary Abbott's Hospital in Kensington, a hospital where a young Tasmanian doctor was working that night. Former Greens leader Bob Brown was there when Jimi Hendrix was brought in. Hello, Bob.
G'day, Helen. How are you?
I'm all right. Is it still a vivid memory when Jimi Hendrix came in?
Oh, yeah. That's one of those surprises in life that you'll never, or I'll never forget. I was a 25-year-old resident medical officer at St Mary Abbott's, which is in South Kensington, doing my morning shift at the casualty, and the ambulance pulled up and out came the stretcher, and on that was the body of Jimmy. His girlfriend was trotting up the hill behind it in her high heels, I remember, and looking helpless. And we all felt helpless because he was very obviously long since dead. So having seen that, he was taken into the hospital where they did try some resuscitation or at least assessments for resuscitation, but it was far too late.
I know some people used to say you'd signed the death certificate. Was that true?
No. That was another Australian doctor, Dr. Bannister, who was in the medical part of the hospital. He signed the death certificate. But, well, whatever we did or didn't do, we weren't able to do anything about this fabulous poet, musician and philosopher. I'm always engaged with Jimi Hendrix's observation that in the end we're all our children. He was talking about the future of the planet and he wanted to make this a single world without fighting nations. And he fought racism as a youngster, and he had some very tough times in life, but he had this exuberant and optimistic spirit. And he was no doubt had a brilliant intellect. Like far too many other 27-year-olds, he didn't make it to 28.
Yeah.
But he left the world with a fabulous legacy for a life so short.
Were you seeing a lot of problematic drug and alcohol use in London at that time?
Yes, it was a problem, and there was a lot of turbulence in the world. Helen, we got a different version of it now, but it was the Cold War then. Jimi Hendrix described the world as mud, M-U-D, but the Washington and Moscow had this international policy of MAD, mutual assured destruction, with their stockpiles of nuclear weapons. And it was very clear to him that we had to do better than that. And he said, my goal is to erase the boundaries from the world, because he knew that's what led to weaponry and so much absurd spending in a world where there was so much poverty. But he was young, and I guess he just found the wine and the drugs, as most people do, let's be honest about it, somewhere during youth. And you have to hope that people will get through that stage, because there's a lovely, beautiful, fulfilling life with many other opportunities ahead, if only you know it. But very often in youth, you don't know that and become a little bit careless about how easily life can be taken from you. And unfortunately, Jimi Hendrix succumbed to that.
What was the mood like in your hospital and in London more widely as news came out that he'd died?
It was a stun zone. There was just people looking at each other. Really, it was beyond conversation. But within a few hours, the London Evening Standard, the evening newspaper, had a front page, and the media was playing his Star Spangled, his version of our American anthem, as he called it, the Star Spangled Banner. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the news then went worldwide, and I went home to tell my the people I was sharing a very big dormitory in those days. It actually had bed bugs in it.
No.
But for sure. Yeah, and again, the silence was there. I had intended to go to the next big concert where he was playing on the Isle of Wight
right.
a month or so later, but of course that was never to be.